This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, Independent Living. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome again to All About Living. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season, enjoying the hustle and bustle, and it's not too stressful because it is a wonderful time of year, and certainly Wisconsin is a wonderland to enjoy it in. I guess controversy is not something new to Madison. We always seem to have something going on that the community is in great discussion about, and I recall many, many years ago when that controversy centered on downtown Madison and the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. We're going to celebrate that convention center. I don't think there's much controversy surrounding it anymore. It's more of a celebration because now, after 13 years, the convention center sits with all its beauty, and we can enjoy it from the lake, we can enjoy it from the city, and it certainly has made a phenomenal impact on the community of Madison, Dane County, and the state of Wisconsin, an economic and a cultural impact. And it's a little, it's celebration and sadness today because joining me on the program is Jim Hess, who for the past 10 years has been director or executive director of the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. And when we are actually, to tell you so you can't call in this morning, we're taping this program in the beginning of the week. And when the program does air on Saturday, December 11th, which is today, it will be Jim's first day officially in retirement.
Well, I'm sort of looking forward to that, yeah. Too, Carol. You bet. And
so
thank you.
You may be sitting with your legs up in the air, you know, and feeding yourself some grapes or whatever and just relaxing and basking in the bright sunshine and the snow that may be falling.
Well, watching the snow come down, you've got by the fireplace.
Right. So Jim is here, and joining Jim is Greg McManners. What a lovely name. With a name like McManners, it kind of sets the standard as to what your behavior has to be, Greg.
I have a lot to live up to, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. And Greg, you've been director of operations at Monona Terrace for the past 8 years, I understand.
That's correct.
And after a nationwide search, the decision was made and the spotlight settled on you, and you are officially now the new director of the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center.
Well, it's a big shoes to fill, and it's quite an honor, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about you and your background and your experience so far and what the next steps will be. With new leadership, there are always changes, so we're excited to hear a little bit about what's going on in your head and the plans for the future. Also joining us today, a very special person to the community of Madison and certainly Monona Terrace. And within his head, he holds the whole history of Monona Terrace. George Nelson is here, and he was on, every original committee that ever existed to discuss Monona Terrace. Let me give you just a little bit of background on Monona Terrace. We all know it was controversial for many, many years. It was originally designed by Wisconsin native Frank Lloyd Wright and first proposed by Wright in 1938. At that time, the county board rejected the plan by a single vote, and Wright would continue to seek support for the plan and alter its design until his death in 1959. Then for the next 3 decades, various proposals for a convention center in the Monona Terrace land would be considered and rejected. Several times it appeared that supporters of the project would be able to secure the public financing to complete the project, but various forces, and that including the start of World War II, inevitably sidelined the plan. But in 1990, Madison Mayor Paul Soglin resurrected Wright's proposal, which won narrow approval in a public referendum in 1992, and construction began 2 years later, in 1997, and I remember that day. I was there. Downtown Rotary hosted one of the rooms, and we were passing out bookmarks, in the Goodman, in the sports, in the room that was the hallmark for the sports. and that was nearly 60 years after Wright's original inception. And Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center opened its doors, and boy, they've been remaining open ever since. And today, 390,000 people pass through those doors every year, a phenomenal accomplishment for the city of Madison, for our state, and for our nation as a whole to have such a monument right here located in one of the favorite places to live in all of America. So, George, let me start with you, because as I'm talking about these committees and Mayor Soglin going back a couple of decades, you were there.
And I certainly was.
And some of your stories are priceless, including that, you know, in a payphone in New York or
that. That was the Civic Center. That goes way back.
Okay. Well, let me stop talking, and please tell us a little bit about what you recall the history leading up to finally that vote, which said, yes, Madison, go ahead.
Okay, in the early 70s, Madison said, Mayor Soglin asked me to help him get Monona Terrace built. And unfortunately, it was voted down once again after many attempts. And we decided at that time the city needed a civic center, something of its own identity. So we did the Capitol Theater and converted that into a civic center. It was our second choice, obviously, but we wanted to have the resolve to have Madison be independent of the state and the university and being overshadowed, never having our own facilities. Paul went his way into private practice. I went my way and ended up in the media business. But in not too many years later, the city was trying to build Nolan Terrace. Mayor Joe Sensenbrenner was running for re-election, and Soglin decided that he would like to come back and try to be the mayor. And as things would unfold, build Monona Terrace. So and he was re-elected, and the Nolan Terrace referendum went down 2-1. I mean, people did not like the concept. Part of the problem was that they had the hotel included. It was just too big a bite for the city of Madison financially. So Paul asked me 2 days after election, I think, George, would you like to try to do the Monona Terrace project again? He said, what we want to do is convene a committee the summer of 1989 and study all the important work that Joe Sensenbrenner's administration had done in establishing the economic viability for a convention center, and also take a look at the past and find out why Monona Terrace was never built. And there were many, many reasons why it wasn't. Probably the most crucial one is that the mayor's term in those days was 2 years, and now it was 4 years. So before you get a mayor in, you'd be for it. The next guy'd come in and turn it down. So we put together that committee put together a template for a convention center, and it was to be of the size and the cost that would be compatible for the city, the size of the city of Madison. We said it had to fall in range in cost, and had to serve a community interest as well as a convention center interest. And of course, which became very obvious as we got into it, it had to also be a living piece of art, because it was an original design by Frank Lloyd Wright. In fact, we worked off the 1959 plans that were signed off by Wright just before his death. So it's a definite Frank Lloyd Wright design. We put together a commission. Paul asked me to chair it. We had great people leading. We had two separate committees, one finance and one public facilities. The public side was Don Helfrich, CEO of Madison Gas and Electric, and Henry Loeffler, who was one of the leading council members. And on the other side, we had Jerry Frouchy, who some people might recognize the name, and Mary Lou Muntz, who was a very active member of the legislature. Yes. As Jerry would often say, he never would have met somebody on that side of the aisle unless they worked together, and he had great admiration for her, as we all did. So we put together a plan, and we never lacked for a quorum in any of our meetings. The end result was a unanimous vote by the commission to move forward. And basically, three things that had to be, we had to make sure that there was no cost overrun, so we were able to get a bid that had a fixed price. It also couldn't have any environmental problems that we had to do. And so and we had to take it to referendum. The referendum was split into two things. One was to build it, and the other one was to finance it with bonding. And the way we had structured it, it was too big a piece for just the city of Madison, so we had to make a partnership. And I think this is something that I've always been very proud of, is pulling together the private sector, the city, the state, and the county. And it took us about 4 years. Each partner took a year to pin down. And interestingly enough, Tommy Thompson, then governor, put the first piece in place. And he had been to Japan in a trade mission, and all people wanted to talk about was Frank Lloyd Wright. So he came back to Wisconsin and said, you know, what's this Frank Lloyd Wright thing? That seems kind of important. So he and Jim Clauser, who was a Wright aficionado, structured a deal where the state would pay for the parking, also the bike path and a couple other amenities, and they were the first ones to actually commit. Then we had to go back and figure out what the private sector piece should be, and it was decided because usually private funds do not go into public facilities. In this case, we said, well, Madison won't do it unless the private sector is involved. So Paul Berge and Jerry Frautzy put together an $8 million plan to raise the private sector. Then the city came through with $12 million of GO, and then also room tax, hotel money that went into it. And the final piece of the puzzle was the county board and the county's piece. And Mike Blaska and Lyman Anderson, Dick Wagner played a very important role through this whole thing. And I think it was just about St. Patrick's Day that year when Phelps signed it, and so we were off and running. And
that's true. It was really a collaboration of many totally. People coming from different political perspectives, different business philosophies, and the whole thing, and all coming together. We need to stop for a break. Our guests today are George Nelson, who was in the head of the original committee to get Monona Terrace, the Community and Convention Center, built, which was accomplished back in 1997. Also here are Jim Hess, the now just retired after 10 years director of Monona Terrace, and Greg McManus, who is the new director of Monona Terrace. And we're going to talk with Jim and Greg, talk about some of the history and the experiences and how Monona Terrace has been alive and well over the past 13 years, and then some of the vision for the future. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Colby, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670, WTDY.
Welcome back to the program. This segment is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center, and Turtle Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. I'm Carol Colby, and joining me today are three distinguished gentlemen. Jim Hess is here. He is the absolutely just, hot off the press, retired director of the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, having served in that position for the past 10 years. Greg McManus is here, and he is the incoming, now absolutely spending your first day on the job, so to speak, Greg. After 8 years as director of operations, you're now the new executive director of Monona Terrace. And George Nelson is also joining us today, and he has just completed the story, or not completed it really, but gave us a brief overview of the story of how Montona Terrace even came about. It took many, many years. Frank Lloyd Wright first proposed it way back in the 1930s, and we finally got it built and opened in 1997. And Jim, I want to turn to you because you have spent 10 years here. You came from Kansas, didn't you?
That's right, Carol. I came from Wichita, Kansas. I was directing a convention performing arts center in Wichita before coming up here. In fact, when I came up here for the interview, I'd never been to Wisconsin before. And unrelated to Monona Terrace, but my wife and I have fallen in love with the area, and we're retiring here. So we're looking forward to that. So,
yes, that's a real statement of credibility and acceptance for our wonderful state of Wisconsin. So you took the job, and you certainly must have had some expectations getting into it. What has it been like over the 10 years? What's your kind of overall impression? And was it what you thought it was going to be? What are some of your surprises?
Oh, that and then some. I'm finishing up about a 40-year professional career, but obviously in my mind the last 10 years have been the best. But coming here 10 years ago, some of that controversy was still kind of lingering around a little bit, and I feel like there was a lot of those people kind of hanging around the edges, just waiting for that first mistake to pounce on us. But I feel very positive about what we've done the last 10 years. Excuse me. And I really feel like we've won the people over. I hardly hear any negative talk at all. In fact, I think we've won the hearts of people of Madison and the Madison area for Monona Terrace. Kind of an interesting story. When I first got to Monona Terrace, the director of operations at that time, who has gone on and now is the director of his own building elsewhere, had come down from the Fargo Dome. And he was at the grocery store soon after getting here, and someone ran into him, oh, you're new to Madison. Oh, well, that's great. Welcome to Madison. What do you do? And Corey said, well, I'm the director of operations at Monona Terrace. And this person he talked to said, I voted against that building. And so he learned not to mention what he did there for a while. We definitely have won people over.
What has been the economic impact of Monona Terrace on the Madison community and the county and the state?
It's been quite successful. In fact, George was very helpful in 2005 to find some private funding, and we did our own independent economic impact Monona Terrace based on 2005 activity numbers and the number of conventions and conferences that came in that year. And it was $53.1 million, which was the economic impact just from conventions and conferences alone, which virtually was about what we paid to build the building to begin with. So it's been remarkable. I did a little bit of looking through the 10 years that I've been here, that we figured up, added up over the 10 years, the economic impact over those 10 years is about $300 million. And I might add, too, that these numbers are, since 2005, have been independently produced by Baker Tilly, a Virgil Krause company. So it's very successful in those areas. And again, I guess I have to underscore that's just for conventions and conferences. On the downtown area, you've got all the people coming downtown, the banquets, and then later going out in the to State Street or wherever the restaurants and so forth. So it has had a significant impact on the downtown area and the development of hotels and restaurants and so forth since it's opened.
I know, and George was explaining earlier before our break the importance of it being not just a convention center but a community center. And how successful has that been when you look at how much it's used as a convention or a meeting place versus a place for the community to come and enjoy?
Right. And that was one of the pledges that people made. This wasn't just going to be a convention center. It's also going to be a community gathering place, which we take seriously. And it's actually one of our steps in our mission statement, which is to be a community gathering place. Every year we have over 200 events at Monona Terrace, of which most of them are free and open to the public. We're also open 7 days a week, 8 to 5, for people to come down and visit. And at 1 o'clock, you talk about that Frank Lloyd Wright connection is still very much alive, George. I tell you, at 1 o'clock we have tours that are led by our volunteer docents. It's $3, but it's about an hour tour of the building, and they give all the aspects of the Frank Lloyd Connection, and it's quite well received, and people from all over the world come to see that because it is the last major project for Frank Lloyd Wright, and it's been accepted as a Frank Lloyd Wright project.
I suspect that the controversy in this respect helps a little bit, too, because there was so much buzz about it that people now want to see it.
Yeah, and there's another book on Frank Lloyd Wright about controversy of his life, yeah. So they obviously want to come to his last project, too.
Right. Well, I've certainly had guests visit us, and the first thing you do is, well, you know, what will we see? We run down to Monono Terrace and go through that wonderful tour. And talk about a cross-section of events. Certainly, I think all of us have attended wedding receptions there. And back in 2001, my husband who passed away, we had the memorial service at Monona Terrace. Did just a beautiful job, just beautiful. And then went down to the lakeside room and had a reception afterwards. It was a lovely facility, which perhaps, I don't know if that was in the minds of the creators of it, that it could be used for such a breadth of activities. And now there's Tai Chi there. And full speed ahead after 50, we're looking into the senior years and all kinds of activities that you can do. It's just, and what, there's music on the rooftop and dancing music inside. Every now and then there are activities like that. It's just wonderful.
You bet. We got to get you in our marketing department. You're doing a great job, but yeah. That's...
Obviously, I've been down there for it all.
But yeah, on the rooftop particularly, that can be some magical moments up there. We do our own series during the summer on Thursday nights, and then in August, the four Fridays in August, Dane Dances, we partner with them, and they bring anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people, and it just can be just a, you know, of course, their mission is to bring people in from different cultures and races and so forth, and have an evening and fun, and forget about the diversity that may be out there, and they're very successful at that, and when the moon starts coming up over Lake Monona, and it's just, the setting can be very magical, and it's really a lot of fun to have those events and to
sounds
blend
like
them
it could
in.
Be a Cole Porter sound song or something, Moon Over Monona.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Well, we do have the astronomy club from the university comes out, and we have Moon Over Monona, and we have all the telescopes up there. The people on the night that we do that can come out and look at the moon and the stars.
What are your proudest accomplishments of this 10 years?
Oh, boy, there's been so many of them as far as actually just putting on the 10-year celebration with George and raising the funding privately to get that done. The opening of the Lake Vista Cafe, which happened 2 years ago. It's on the east side on the rooftop. And, again, that was primarily financed with private funding. And that's just added another element of Monona Terrace, which makes this another aspect of a community gathering place. You have something to do up there on the rooftop. You can sit and have dinner or a cool drink or whatever you want to do and watch the sun go down over Lake Monona. So, I would say the conventions, the number of conventions that we bring in every year, anywhere from 60 to 80 conventions and conferences are hosted at Monona Terrace. And when you go down the hallway at our type of conventions, you hear languages from all over the world. It's we don't bring in just the blue collar type convention, if you will. There are many of them are technology based or biology or medical, and it's partly due to our connection at the university. And so because of that, we've got to keep our technology up to date and ahead of everything, so when they come in, they can make these presentations and make it very, very good.
I hadn't thought of that, but you would have to. Absolutely. The technology has to match the sophistication of the people coming there for the meetings. Does Madison have what it needs? I mean, now we have the Community and Convention Center, but you need a city that provides the other benefits that, like the hotels and restaurants and that kind of thing. Does the city itself support Monona Terrace to bring in bigger conventions?
Absolutely. That's what we've always noticed, that if we can get them here to Madison, we have a real good chance of having them host the convention at Monona Terrace. Many people have never been to Madison before. And so once they get here and they see the city, they go down State Street and they see all these wonderful restaurants we have in the downtown area. They they want to come here. They want to bring their group here. Our biggest challenge, though, is the number of the number of hotel convention rooms available for people to stay at when they come to a convention. So it's pretty hard sell in some respects. So, but these groups will stay in 3 to 4 hotels, even though they prefer to be in one, and they still are coming. So Madison's a big sell, and the university is a big sell for bringing groups here.
Mm, so it sounds like we're going to be looking at additional hotel space as we continue to build on this success story. Our guests today on All About Living are Jim Hess, who is just retiring as director of the Monona Terrace Community Convention Center, Greg McManners, who is the incoming director, and George Nelson, whose leadership and work on the commission decades ago made all of this possible. And we'll be right back with more of our program after these messages from our sponsors. This is All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
And we're back with our program. This segment is brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here online at homehealthunited.org. And it's a good place to call and get your flu shot if you haven't yet had your flu shot, which is one of the things that I have to do one of these days. I keep talking about it. You know, I got to start walking the walk, not talk the talk. We are talking the talk today about Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. And sadly, we're saying goodbye to the official role that Jim Hess has had with the Monona Terrace for the past 10 years, where he has served as executive director. He is retiring, and he is now officially retired. And we wish you well. We thank you so much, Jim, for the contribution that you have made to make Monona Terrace the wonderful gem that it truly is, the treasure for our city and for our state. You have been tireless in your efforts, and you must feel richly rewarded, and I hope that you enjoy your retirement. And certainly it's going to be right here in Wisconsin.
That's right. Thank you, Carol. As they say, it definitely was my pleasure, for sure.
Yeah. And do you have big plans for the outside of just settling in and maybe getting some much-needed rest and relaxation?
Well, my wife and I just built our retirement home on 11 acres of land. We've about 3 years ago, we planted our prairie, but we're going to expand the prairie, and you always have work in the woods, so I'll be on that chainsaw and planting prairie seeds and staying pretty busy. Plus, there's some trout streams when spring comes. I love fly fishing, so a lot of things that both my wife and I have a lot of common interests, so we're going to stay very busy.
Well, looking at all those prairie interests, it seems like maybe you've had a little bit of exposure to Frank Lloyd Wright and his philosophy, and it's gotten into your genetic pool.
Well, that's true. It's made for the job. As a matter of fact, just real quickly, the building I directed in Wichita was designed by John Hickman, which was one of the students of Frank Lloyd Wright.
So, oh.
And that building did not have a square corner in its entire 16 acres, so drove the maintenance people crazy.
Yeah, well, so you have actually your professional life and your personal life now kind of flow together seamlessly.
Yes, right.
But I want to introduce to our listeners Greg McManners. And Greg, you, just in talking before the show, you hail from the Black River Falls, Eau Claire area originally. Mm-hmm. And you have been director of operations for Monona Terrace for the past 8 years. You've had a lot of leadership responsibility in shopping centers, institutions, malls around. So explain a little bit about your background and what you've been doing at Monona Terrace. And,
sure. And
then we'll get into what's going to start happening Monday morning on at Monona Terrace.
Well, thanks, Carol. My background is I got my undergraduate from University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and I received my master's in business administration from Cardinal Stritch University, and spent about 30 years in property management, and that is regional shopping centers, office buildings, and at Monona Terrace for the past 8 years. And during that time frame, I think you develop a number of disciplines that are applicable to each of those properties or venues, and certainly I think that my full knowledge of property management certainly have lent themselves to Monona Terrace. And during the 8 years we've been there, we've reconfigured some of the interior space to make it more versatile. We've added the rooftop cafe, as Jim has mentioned, and we continue to look for ways to make that facility both technologically advanced as well as making sure it's the most efficient facility as we possibly can. And may I just add that we are also the first convention center in the United States to receive a LEED EB certification, and LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and that was bestowed upon us by the United States Green Building Council. So we're proud of all those accomplishments, and we certainly think that that's kind of hopefully the direction that we're going to in the future.
And when you came on board, Director of Operations, what were the first things that you were involved in, and what are some of the accomplishments that you brought to the job interview? Because I know it was a nationwide search, and they settled on you as the best choice. And
that's because they only had three applicants.
No. I kind of doubt that, particularly in this environment.
Excuse me, one of the first things that Jim told me is that in the course of the next 18 months, we were going to do a $1.4 million renovation of the facility. It was coming up on 10 years, and with about 390,000 to 400,000 people each year going through there, there's a lot of wear and tear on the facility, so your carpet has to be replaced, painting has to be done, and he kind of just said, this is your main project. And out of that, we identified 8 meeting room spaces that had fixed walls in them. But we did a study on that, and we found out that it was probably the most underutilized space in the facility because every hotel in Madison has an 800-square-foot meeting space. So we actually tore down the fixed walls in there. We put up movable walls to make it very marketable, and actually that space is now compatible to the occupancy of some of the other areas in that facility. And I think we have to continue to update that facility, whether it's banquet chairs, banquet tables, whether it's painting, whether it's recarpeting. I think that the expectation on behalf of all of our stakeholders is to make sure that it's a first-class facility, and that's our effort in doing so.
Well, it sounds like you're building in continuous flexibility in the building.
Well, as much flexibility as we can find. Certainly there's fixed spaces like the lecture hall that we probably will never change because of its uniqueness. And it's unique to convention centers because they typically don't have a lecture hall. But we continue to look for that flexibility. And certainly our customers tell us when there's something that we should have or we should be looking at as far as what the trends in the industry are or what their expectations are when they walk into the facility.
Are you working under guidelines that have been established, the Frank Lloyd Wright design guidelines? I know originally there was a lot of discussion regarding the carpet that was selected, and I know you've replaced the carpet.
I know more about carpet now than I ever cared to know. So,
Frank Lloyd Wright concepts still, are they still part of all decision making?
We have, very much so. We still work with Tony Putnam, who's out of Taliesin here in town. For any of those major decisions. Fortunately, we haven't had to really interfere with any of those finishes. Over the course of the last 5 to 6 years, we certainly have a renovation coming up again in 2014, and hopefully Tony will give us some guidelines if we feel that there's areas that we need to address that may have an effect on that design. But we're very cautious. We try to find a marriage between doing the business of which Manoa Terrace was built for, and Frank Lloyd Wright.
Now, how much are you involved in the discussion of whether or not there will be a train, a high-speed rail that comes from Milwaukee to Madison, and the decision was made prior to now it's opened up to controversy again, that Manoa Terrace would be where the station would be, and there would be a public market there. Mm-hmm. It was kind of exciting.
Well, I'd like to back up and just make mention of the fact that our industry is very dependent on three different aspects. One of them is transportation, of which you're talking about. Yeah, Madison is not necessarily a hub, so it's not the easiest place to get into by air. Second, we depend on the Madison or the Greater Madison Convention and Visitors Bureau to support us on a sales effort, and we rely on our hotels to provide hotel rooms for our attendees. So anytime we can expand any of those areas, provide more funding for the Convention Bureau to be able to sell our facility, to expand the options of getting into our facility either through high-speed rail or air, or we can build a new hotel to support more customers that would use Manoa Terrace, well, we're obviously all for it. Jim and I were both directly involved in all the meetings that were going on as far as high-speed rail is concerned, just because of the fact that Manoa Terrace was a focal point, and certainly the station had been designated at a point that was adjacent to Manoa Terrace, and we were excited about the options and the opportunities, and we felt it was just another option into getting into Madison. And I think the Chicago to Madison route would have been heavily used. However, I think most people concentrated on the fact that it was Chicago, or I mean Milwaukee to Madison. And I think that was one of the downsides. But I really fear that, or I felt and I still feel that Madison to to Chicago and Chicago to Madison would have been a good ridership number.
Well, and my understanding is this was a first step in the continuous development north and west up to the Minneapolis
sure.
area. It wasn't that, it was just one short span between Milwaukee and
Madison.
Well,
it's a link throughout the country, actually, mm-hmm. in the long term. But yes, Minneapolis was the next step on that route.
Are these discussions continuing?
Well, that would be difficult for me to answer. Jim and I have not been involved because our discussions were certainly about the operational aspect of it. I think that the discussions are ongoing, but I would believe that they're at a higher level than what Jim or I are at.
George Nelson, you have been involved in high levels of discussions to get things happening in Madison, and certainly, you know, you were behind the Monona Terrace Convention and Community Center. What about the high-speed rail? Is that still a possible accomplishment for our state?
Well, I look at it took us 60 years to build Monona Terrace. I hope it doesn't take us 60 years to get that connection. I think discussions are still going on. I think they're evaluating the pros and the cons. I think that anything that's politically charged requires a lot more discussion. I haven't given up on the idea. Having said that, I've not been in the discussions, so I don't know where they're at right now. But you'd think that from Madison's standpoint, it is extremely important. And I think it's extremely important for the whole state of Wisconsin, because I think that Madison, through the University of Wisconsin, is going to play a leadership role in the future economics of this state. And every advantage that we can build in to get people here is so important. So I hope that something does get resolved. It's interesting that in Frank Lloyd Wright's original iterations of Monona Terrace, there was a train station located
really?
Right there. So, you know, it's back to the future and a little different reasons then, but I certainly hope something can be resolved.
Well, with that, we're going to stop for a break, and we'll be back with our last few minutes with Jim Hess, the outgoing director, retiring director for the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, Greg McManners, who is the incoming director, and George Nelson, who was a real spearheaded force behind the fact that Monona Terrace even exists. So we're celebrating Jim's 10-year success and wishing him well in his retirement, and we'll be back with more of our conversation with our three guests after these messages. You're listening to All About Living on Madison 1670 WTDY, and I'm Carol Colby.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
And we're back with our final few minutes of our program today. I want to remind you that if you would like to listen to this program again or pass along the fact that it's available, you can hear it at carolcobyradio.com. Carol Colby, that's K-O-B-Y radio.com. It will be posted at the beginning of the week, and you can download it or listen to it on that site. And our guests today are Jim Hess, Greg McManners, and George Nelson. Jim is the retiring director of the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. Greg McManners, the incoming director, who has been director of operations for the past 8 years, and after a nationwide search was the one that was selected to be the best for the job, the best man for the job. And it's going to be an exciting time for you as Monday morning approaches, Greg. And also joining us, George Nelson, who was on the original commission to get Monona Terrace approved and built, working with many of the mayors and the private and public sectors of Madison decades ago to finally have this come about. And George, you have been associated closely with Monona Terrace ever since it's been built. It's pride and joy for you, and you have worked closely with Jim Hess. And so let me turn it to you, and what have you been particularly pleased about that Jim has accomplished over his decade of leadership?
Well, you know, when it took so much to put this together, it became sort of my baby. and you don't like to turn your children over to strangers. You want to make sure that things are taken care of. And so it's just delighted me that over the years, coming to Monona Terrace, number one, the facility looks like it just opened. I mean, I can't remember any time I've been disappointed with the looks and the way that people take care of it. I mean, the staff has been wonderful. I don't think early on you worry about people having a bad experience with the food or something like that. That's never happened. I can't believe it.
Right.
And it's up to Jim and the great staff. And I think that Greg will carry that out in the future. I certainly commend you to do that. We got a great thing going, but it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of coordination and dedicated people. And I guess the other thing I'd like to say about the staff is they love working there. Mm-hmm. They are a happy group. And that means that the leadership is doing something right. So I commend you on that. So.
Yeah, thanks, George. Yeah, that's absolutely. I can't underscore that more, that we have an excellent staff at Monona Terrace. They're very dedicated. And like you say, you can tell that they love what they do because they come to work with a positive attitude. And they care about their jobs, too. And we have a very strong core of volunteers that help us out, too, the docents. Not only for leading tours, but they also help us. We do a Terrace Town every 2 years, which is our students coming together. They build their own city. It takes a lot of volunteers to go to the classrooms, teach them how to plan a city and so forth, and they come to Monona Terrace. And about 3,000 to 5,000 people come down, and it's really quite a fascinating event. But it takes volunteers to do that. So it's great to say. And leading, this guy right here, Greg McManus, I'm just so happy that he was selected to be the next director. I just was really hoping and was advocating for him. He's going to be great for Monona Terrace. When I hired him 8 years ago, when you have an opportunity, every once in a while you feel like, I got a chance here. I think I just hired my replacement. Mm-hmm. And you want to do that. And just like you say, when you're going to turn over your baby over to someone, you don't want someone to come in and screw it up. So I have all the confidence in the world that Greg's going to carry on, and the legacy of Monona Terrace is in great, great hands.
How many staff members do you have?
We have about 58 staff people. On our side, that's for the conventions and the community programming part of it. But we also have a private company that actually does the catering and has done the catering since we've been here. And that they could have anything from 20 to 300 people on any given day, depending on how large the function is. But they have a staff. What is it, Greg? About 15, 20 full-time people? Or?
I think it might be a little bit more than that. I think it's probably closer, if you include kitchen staff and mm-hmm. things to that effect, it's probably closer to 30 to 35.
Okay. So.
The Monona Catering only has two clients, Monona Terrace and Minneapolis Convention Center. So those folks that work for Monona Catering are just as dedicated. They're just as embedded in this community as Monona Terrace is, and they're a great partner. They're a great partner.
And then volunteers. I know you depend on the volunteers for so many things. How many volunteers?
Well, I think basically, in fact, we just had an appreciation event for them last week, that every year we do this around the holidays, that we can come in and thank them for everything they've done and so forth. And Heather adds up the number of total volunteer hours, and it's amazing how many hours a lot of these put in. But I would say we have a core group of volunteers of about 30.
And the docent training must be extensive.
Oh, very much so. Yeah,
it's like going to class.
It's like a class. There's a notebook that you got to have all these facts, and you got to rehearse it. And before we let you go out there and do it on your own, you have Heather Savin, who's in charge of this portion of it. Make sure that you know your script and you understand what you're saying. And there's all those other questions that are beyond the script that you got to be prepared for. But they're just been, again, they are a great group. Many of them been here with us since the building opened.
Now, the employees, are they the staff people? Are they city employees or are they private?
That's correct. We're actually a department within the city of Madison. So they're all city employees. We do have... Well, yeah, they're all, even the stagehands now are, right. are now contracted with the city as well. So,
what kind of connection do you feel with Overture, with the Overture Center?
Well, we think it's a great building. We think it's a good asset. It as far as bringing in conventions and so forth, it helps.
Do you have an ongoing working relationship with them or a conversation going because it's all part of the big downtown picture?
Well, we have a conversation with them as peers as far as Greg and I meet with Tom Carto on a regular basis, as well as Bill DiCarlo from the Lion Energy Center, just to coordinate what we're doing, share information, professionally wise. But as far as day-to-day operations, we don't have a whole lot of involvement. Every once in a while, if they need some equipment that we have, we'll loan it to them. And we've borrowed have equipment from them in the past as well. So,
Greg, what do you see as the vision for downtown Madison? If things are always dynamic and there are always additions and changes. And a lot of it is also due when, as George was explaining earlier, you get new administrations that come in and everybody has a different idea that they bring to the table.
You got to like the path so far, don't you?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that... we kind of coined a phrase, and that is that 10% of our business is conventions and conferences. So if we do 700 events a year, that's 70 events. But that's 10% generates 50% of our annual revenues. So if you take a look at our long-term vision, it would be another large hotel where we could actually influence that sales mix to be 15% or even higher. That means about $1 million to our bottom line. If we can get that, I think that you'd see a significant reduction in our subsidy, which could go towards other aspects within the city. And I think that from the standpoint of growth, Manoa Terrace certainly has a chance to grow. Mm-hmm. It has a chance to expand, and we haven't yet maxed out our potential yet as far as an organization. And yet we need that infrastructure support to be able to grow. And so I think we're all about growing the business at this point. And if we can accomplish those things, I think we'll have a great path to the future because people really want to come to Madison. And once they get here, it's like Jim said, they want to come back. So once we get them here, we know that they'll come back and visit again.
Well, it's a truly unique facility. You can go to all kinds of cities all over the country, and they have their convention centers. But it's a convention center on the corner, and it's a square building or whatever. And
well, I told the mayor in my interview with him that that I have been fortunate enough to visit a lot of convention centers since I've joined the organization, and there is no other one that I'd rather be at than at Manoa Terrace. So I think it's a real compliment to the way it's built and to see other convention centers and to see the finishes that were put in and installed and to see the views that come from there and just the experience. It's a very, very... it's a tremendous building.
Well, we all wish you well. We'll continue to be excited to visit Manoa Terrace and under your leadership to see how it remains the dynamic force in our city and our state that it has been ever since 1997. Thank you, Greg McManers, Jim Hess,
Thank
George
you.
Nelson, for being guests. This segment was brought to you today by Independent Living, your connection to an independent life. You've been listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY, also available on Carol Cole. KobeRadio.com. Carol Kobe, KOBY Radio.com. Now go out and have a great rest of the weekend.